This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the WREL Daily Download. I'm your host, Amanda Lamb. In today's deep dive conversation with WREL's hidden history reporter, Heather Leah, we're talking about the last remaining runway of the original Raleigh Municipal Airport, which was built in 1929 around Highway 70 and Tryon Road and remained open until 1973. Heather, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So I don't think a lot of people know that we had another airport. Everybody knows about RDU, but this was called the Raleigh Municipal Airport. Originally, it was the Curtis Wright Field. So tell me, where was it, who built it, and who used it?
Yeah, so this airport was built. This is probably Raleigh's first airport, or at least our first air transportation hub, which I think you could argue is the same thing. Before RDU was around, this was the airport. Think about the late 1920s, early 1930s, some of the early days of aviation. This is where people would fly in and out of Raleigh. It was also a World War II air base during the 1940s. And it just, you know, it was a classic air transportation hub that I think a lot of people living in that neighborhood probably had no idea that there was the remnants of one of the airstrips just still running through.
Okay, so where is it, if you can explain it?
Yeah, so it's in Renaissance Park, right? So that's the neighborhood area we're talking about. Renaissance Park, there's maps that you can see overhead, and a lot of people had, again, thought that this was completely gone. There were no more remnants. And then we were looking at a map, satellite view on Google Maps, and saw this little scar in the landscape that cut across this one green patch of undeveloped land. And it happened to run exactly where the runways used to be.
Wow, that's so interesting. Is this northern Wake County?
No, it's closer to downtown.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's like Renaissance Park is, yeah, it's like Tryon Road area. I believe it's towards like South Saunders Street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what is visible? I know that you've been out there, you've taken some pictures. What can you see?
Yeah. So the first thing I saw, of course, was satellite view, and it just looked suspicious. And you could use the satellite, Google satellite views, to find lots of hidden history. And so I wanted to go take a look at it in person. And I went out there and I found, again, this grassy patch that's kind of in the middle of the neighborhood, undeveloped at the time. It is now developed, and we can talk about that later, but at the time, undeveloped. And if you stood on the strip of land, it was just like the grass didn't grow there as well, and there was just this swath that cut straight through. It looked just like a runway. And if you bent down and got a closer look, you'd see chunks of gravel, asphalt, rocks, and you realize this was the runway. I'm standing
on a runway.
On a runway.
Which is amazing. Yeah. What is there now?
So now there's probably nothing. So a few years ago when I did this story to begin with, there was just a faint trace of it left, but you could find chunks of the runway out there. Now I will say, after it closed in the 70s, and probably throughout the 80s, there were still treasures out there. You could go out there, and I think people did drag racing out there in that area at the time. But you could find pieces of airplanes and things like that. But as the decades went by, those scraps thrown away.
So it's been developed. There's a community there now, homes there.
Yes, but only within the past year or so. So when I was out there just maybe 2 years ago, the runway was still there. And now there is apartments developed on top of it. But the apartments actually do talk about the history of the Raleigh Municipal Airport. So they are trying to honor that history.
Oh, that's
interesting. Of what's sitting right beneath them.
Now, I know you've talked to people who piloted planes in and out of that airport. What did they tell you?
So they told me about really a simpler time. Now, you can look at pictures of the airport. It had three runways originally, and it created kind of an A. And what I was told by Bob Norton, who learned to fly at that airport, there were three runways, and the reason they crisscrossed in those directions was so that you could fly, I guess, against or with the wind, depending on what you needed to do. So it helped with the crosswinds. And then he talked about at the time you could actually take a date out to the field in these romantic days of aviation.
And let the airplanes fly over you, yeah, which is what you see in Lifetime movies.
Exactly. And even Amelia Earhart flew and landed in that airport. So
much history there.
Yes. And it was a place where crowds would come from around Raleigh to see her come and land because she was such an important figure in aviation.
Wow.
There's not much out there today, but it also was a World War II base, and the hangars actually said Raleigh on top. So think about this. This is before we had all the technology for landing airplanes that we do today, right? So there's two things that are interesting to me. A, that Raleigh was on the top of the airport.
So they could identify it as they were flying in.
So you knew where you're landing. And as far as I know, this is still up there. There's a building in downtown Raleigh. You can look on Google satellite views and see it, where there's a big arrow in downtown Raleigh. And there's just this arrow on top of a building. And for a long time, I wondered what that arrow was about.
And it was pointing at the airport.
It's pointing at the airport. So that
oh,
if you
wow.
were flying
That's
over,
pretty rudimentary.
It is.
I'm glad we have some better technology today. Well, we will be back after the break with more from WREL's Heather Leah about what we can learn about the history of aviation in North Carolina from studying Raleigh's first airport.
Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists. Talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
I chose William Peace University because of the small class sizes. I feel that you get more one-on-one time with teachers. With class sizes like about 16 per teacher, you can really get that one-on-one help a lot of students need.
A 12-to-1 student to faculty ratio is just one of the many reasons students choose William Peace University. Extra attention starts day one for career planning with their Career Services Center. Find out all they have to offer at peace.edu.
Welcome back to the WREL Daily Download. I'm talking with WREL's Hidden History reporter, Heather Leah, about the history of flying in and out of Raleigh. So we have this Raleigh Municipal Airport. At some point, RDU opens. So there's a little bit of overlap here where commercial planes are flying into both airports.
Yes.
But at some point, the Raleigh Municipal Airport did close.
Yeah, it closed down in the 1970s. But that didn't mean that it stopped being used. So once it closed down, people started using that land to do drag racing, which eventually had to be stopped. But it sounds like it became a popular hangout for drag racers in the 90s or 80s.
I think one of the things, and you mentioned this in the first half, was kind of the romance of flying that Bob Norton described. Commercial air flight was so new. It gave us the ability to go anywhere. In a way, it was kind of a fantasy situation when you can get on a plane and go anywhere in the world. And I remember even as a little girl, my grandparents lived in North Carolina and I lived in Pennsylvania. I would be on the plane, with the little, they would give you the little wings, and you'd sit with the flight attendant, probably 5 or 6 years old. And back then, it was a big deal. I mean, you dressed up to get on an airplane. So this is really a part of North Carolina's history and Raleigh's history that really should be preserved.
Yeah, you know, when I was talking to Bob Norton, he talked about, again, Amelia Earhart actually landed there. She christened an airplane. There was another famous pilot, Eddie Rickenbacker. He was a World War I ace, and he flew there. Reportedly, he flew a Curtiss Condor, and it could hold 15 passengers, which apparently was huge in its time period.
Back in the day.
and there were also shows out there. And while you talk about that flying was more, you know, like romanticized, people would dress up to go on the planes, it also was, in a way, a little more casual. He talked about whether safe or not really very safe, but he talked about pilots being outside their planes drinking a beer.
Before they got up.
Probably not with passengers.
Probably would not go well today.
No, very, very different era. And people, of course, went out there and learned to fly. So a lot of people in Raleigh area who learned to fly, they have memories of getting their lessons out there. So this was a really memorable place for those who spent time there.
And also, at one point, the Civil Air Patrol operated out of that airport with a donated World War II plane. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So again, Bob Norton told me a lot of these memories, and I'll be sure to share this podcast with him too. But it was around the 1960s. And the Civil Air Patrol was a group organized by the government, and they would do searches for downed aircraft and looking for missing people. And the government actually donated an old World War II plane for search and rescue, and Norton was involved in that. And, you know, on that note, there were several crashes that were out there at Raleigh Municipal Airport as well. So it really goes into the history of aviation from the glorious and good to the worst.
And you've mentioned a couple times, but I'm so fascinated. What did Amelia Earhart do when she landed in Raleigh?
Oh, so she came several times, from my understanding, but the big visit was when she came and she christened a plane. And that was just a really big deal for people.
Absolutely.
I believe there are pictures of that. And I do know, again, that the new development that's on that land, I think they have rooms named after Amelia Earhart.
So they've kind of honored that history, which is really great.
Yeah.
What happened to the things that were at that airport, the treasures, if you will, when the airport closed in the 70s? Where did all that go?
Yeah, so some of it was taken by people who, you know, either had played a role there and they wanted a piece of it for memories and they were allowed to take it. Some of it was just left out there. So like I said, you know, back in the late 70s, early 80s, there probably was quite a lot of stuff out there that you could go and rummage through if you wanted to, because it was abandoned and people were going out there. I know that several people told me that they got treasures to remember the airport by. And I think that's a common thing, to want a piece of this Raleigh history that was important to you. And then by the time I got out there, it was just, you could almost see, if you really closed your eyes and envisioned it and saw where I could find like blocks of asphalt around that field. And I believe I found more than just the runway. I think that I found pieces of what were probably originally foundations of buildings and things that were out there too. So you could sort of see like a tracing of what was left out there. But I'm going to go out there very soon to do the follow-up story on this, which is to talk about that the last piece of Raleigh's first airport has been buried by development, and kind of see, is there anything left out there now? And also to talk about what this new development is doing to honor that history.
That's fascinating. Where can people find your stories?
Yeah, so if you go to WRAL.com, just search Hidden History, and you'll be able to find my stories there.
Thanks, Heather, as always, for your reporting and your insight. And thank you for listening to the WREL Daily Download and making us part of your morning routine. If you like what you're hearing, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or on whatever podcast app you use. Another great way to get WREL news is the Morning Briefing Newsletter. It's a daily email waiting in your inbox every morning with Triangle News events and headlines to get you ready for the day. Sign up at WREL.com/newsletter.
Breaking news, The Designery can give you the kitchen of your dreams. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.